All right, so if you thought the sermon was a little weird, yeah, I know, sorry, a sermon about asking questions is different. But I don't think this is going to be a weird class. I hope this is an interesting class. I want to show you guys some research that I have done that really made me start looking at things differently, especially in Genesis and some other things. And the whole concept behind this was trying to show secular history and biblical history tied together. And I did this topic, I did this a long time ago, but I didn't know how long we were going to have in class, so this is something I could shorten up real tight if I needed to, because I knew we were going to do the Bible Bowl stuff. But I think we've got enough time that we can hopefully get through all the material. Now, what started this? If y'all have ever read Genesis chapter 5, if y'all ever tried to read Genesis 5 or Genesis 11, turn over and look at them real quick. They're not the easiest reads. And typically, if you're on like a, if you're on an annual Bible reading plan, these are towards the beginning, so you're kind of still motivated at that point, and you hadn't kind of fallen off the bandwagon, so you're going to read every word of it. But it's so-and-so lived so many years, he fathered this person, and then lived so many more years, and kept having sons and daughters, and so the whole year of this person was this many years. Then we go to the next person, and it basically says the same thing with just names and numbers swapped out. Then we go to, it's a genealogy. It's tough to read sometimes. And if you go over to Genesis 11, it's the same thing. Well, if anybody has known me longer than what we've attended here, you know I was a little bit of a nerd. And I'm okay with that. I wear the badge proudly. So, one of the things I tried to do one time, I think I was in college when I did this, is I wanted to see if I could map out and figure out who lived with who. Or who lived with whom. I think whom's the right word. Who lived with whom during Old Testament times, specifically looking at these genealogies. And I did it in the nerdiest way possible. All right, I did it in Excel, and I made a bar chart. All right, so I'm going to show you my bar chart this morning. Don't fall asleep. I promise it's not going to be as boring as it sounds, hopefully. So here's what I did. Can y'all see that? That is a lot smaller than I thought it was going to be. Sorry. This says the name Adam. And this big line right here, and people that are watching the live stream, I apologize, you can't see my little pointer, but everybody in here, you can see my little laser pointer, hopefully. This is year zero. So that is creation. Well, we're told in Genesis 5 that Adam lived 930 years. And so these little small tick marks, these are 500-year increments. So that's 500 years, 1,000 years, 1,500, 2,000 years. Then you go on to his son Seth. And I'm doing these first two. I'm not going to walk through every one individually. I'm going to throw it all up there at once. But just so you can see how this works. So, Earth had been created for 130 years before Seth was born. That's the little gray box up there. That's how, okay, he was born when the orange starts, and then he lived 912 years. So you can kind of get an idea from that, from the amount that those two overlap, is how long Seth and Adam lived at the same time. Now, if you take everything that was in Genesis chapter 5 and you throw all of them on there, which Genesis 5 goes up to the flood, this is what you get. Let that sink in for a second. All right, while you're looking at that, and I'll read the names off here. It's Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalalo, sounds like Hawaiian, I don't know, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. Noah's at the very top. So the far left-hand side of this chart is creation. This is where it started. The gray is how much time went before they were born, and the orange is their lifespan. Now, when we read Genesis, and I don't know if this is just a result of the way that we teach Bible classes sometimes to little kids, sometimes we have in our mind these almost cartoonish stories that we think, well, all these things are just little fairy tale things that happen. They're neat stories. We got to remember these are real things that happen in life. But one of the problems, I think, sometimes is when we read Genesis, we read other things in Scriptures, is that we assume every story that happened, everything we read about, is an isolated event. None of them interacted with each other. None of them talked to each other. It's like, I don't know, watching Harry Potter and then going and watching Marvel movies. And so they all live in different universes. They never saw each other. They never talked to each other. Nobody interacted with each other. But when I did this, it got me asking a lot of questions. A lot of people lived at the same time. A lot of their stories potentially interact with each other. all these people are related to each other. How often do you interact with your family you're related to? Well, I guess you are related to all your family. I don't guess you have any family you're not related to. Sorry. Told you it was going to be a weird class. How often do you interact with your family? A lot, most of us. All right? How often do you think these people interact with each other? Now, this red line, hopefully you can see that. That is where the flood happened, right there. These numbers we know because they're recorded in Scripture. All right? So when I say 1,656 years, the flood happened 1,656 years from creation. If you add up the numbers and the genealogies in Genesis, that is the number. Okay? It's kind of interesting. Let this soak in. Now, I like classes being interactive. I want you all to tell me things that you see from this that maybe you've never thought about. And to maybe get you thinking, I'll throw some out there. Have you ever gone and sat and listened to your grandfather or great-grandfather, somebody tell stories? My grandmother was one of the original homesteaders in Crossville. And Tucker thinks it's the coolest thing ever now when we start explaining to him, well, the homesteads were set up right after the Depression, trying to get things going again. There were two of them in the nation. One of them happens to be in Crossville. And I actually wrote my senior paper over the homestead in Crossville, my senior paper in high school. And it was interviewing my grandma a lot, listening to the stories, the things that they did, the crop sharing, all the different things that went on. How cool of a story do you think that Lamech got from Adam? That many generations later, so that would be, what, son, grandfather, be great, 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 great grandfather. He could go and sit and talk to, what was the Garden of Eden like? What was it like to name the animals? That's fascinating. You think your grandparents tell cool stories? Adam tells cool stories. All right? He got to walk with God. What was it like to walk with God? Now, you may tell from the numbers, and again, I apologize, you can't see these numbers. I should have blown them up bigger. Noah, he was born 1,056 years after creation. Adam only lived 930 years. So Noah and Adam did not overlap. All right? Adam passed away before Noah was born. But he lived with Seth. That's right. No. Seth died 14 years before Noah was born. Either way, Lamech lived with Adam. He lived with Seth. He lived with all these people that he could go and sit and talk to. Now, did they sit and actually interact together? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it makes me think. And again, the whole premise of this class is trying to get you to think. All right? There's a lot of things I'm going to talk about in here that are some speculative things. I'm just showing you data. This is according to the genealogies in the Bible. So we know these people lived at the same time. Did they go to family reunions together? I don't know. They had really big families. There was a lot of kids. That's a lot of people to feed. I don't know if they did that, went to each other's birthday parties, whatever they did. But think about it. And if you guys notice something, raise your hand. You may notice some things looking at this that I've never noticed before. So Adam died before Enoch. What happened to Enoch? Why does he stop right here and everybody else kept on going? He was taken to heaven. He was taken in a whirlwind. All right? So he didn't die. That's why his lifespan right here is significantly shorter than everybody else's. So Adam died before that happened. Adam didn't know about it, but Seth was alive. So Seth would have been his dad, grandfather, great, great, great. So Seth's great, great, great grandson didn't die and was just taken. Do you think Seth knew about that? I would think so. I mean, that's kind of a story that would travel around pretty quickly. Now, this right here is what's really interesting to me. Look where these two lifespans end. Now, if you add the numbers up, you can't see the gap here. But Lamech died just a couple years before the flood. He died 5 years before the flood. That's Noah's dad. So he was not killed in the flood. Makes me wonder, was Lamech also a righteous person? Or was he a wicked person? Don't know. We don't have much information on him. But it makes you think, if he was a righteous person, I mean, he raised Noah. Noah turned out to be a righteous man. Did he help build the ark and then died before the floods happened? Maybe. I don't know. Something to think about. But here's what really gets me. And again, I know you can't see those numbers very good. Methuselah. What year did Methuselah die? What's interesting about Methuselah? Oldest person recorded in Scripture. To our knowledge, he's the oldest person to have ever lived. And that's just because he's the oldest one listed in Scripture. They may have been somebody else that just didn't make it into the Bible. I don't know. But he died the same year the flood happened. Did you ever know that? Methuselah died the same year the flood occurred. So now what kind of questions does that bring up? This is Noah's grandfather. Was Methuselah a wicked man? Don't know anything about Methuselah. But again, his family tree, his lineage is the ones that turned out the righteous people. Right? I don't know. That's a question. The Bible doesn't tell us. Did he die in the flood? Possibly. If he did, maybe that's why he only lived, was it 969 years, I think? Yeah, 969 years. Maybe that's why he only lived that long, because he died in the flood, which means he would have been wicked. But what if he didn't? Now, this is something I've lost sleep over before. What if... Jenna's laughing at me, sorry. There's weird things that go through my head at night. We have weird conversations laying in bed. All right. What if Methuselah was a righteous man? Something happened to Methuselah. What was the world like before the flood? Right before the flood? It was an evil, wicked place. Only 8 righteous people were on the planet that got into that boat. All right? How many people were living on the planet? A lot more than 8. All right? So it was a bad place to be. What if Methuselah was also one of those righteous people? Something happened to him. Maybe he got murdered. Maybe something really bad happened to him. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back for God. God said, I'm done. The flood starts. I don't know. That's something I want to ask God someday. I was like, all right, what happened to Methuselah? Did he die in the flood? Did something happen to Methuselah that you're basically said, I'm done, and the flood starts? Just something to think about. Anything else you all notice from this? Yes, 969 years, a long time to live with somebody, no offense. All right. I think it did, didn't it? That he was trying to get more people. Somebody else answer that. Did it say that Noah and his family were the only righteous ones? They were righteous. Did it say they're the only righteous? It may not have been. I'll need to look at that some more. Now I've got a research project to do. All right. So here's something then that I want us to think about a little bit more. We've got about 20 minutes. I think I can get through all of this. This is up to the flood. All right? You see where the flood happened. Noah on this list is the only one that goes past it. Notice Noah was 600 years old when the flood occurred. That's how we know the year the flood happened in relation to creation, because we know how old Noah was when it happened, and we know when he was born. Now let's look at after the flood. This is after the flood. So at the bottom here, we're starting with Noah. This is now coming from Genesis chapter 11. Okay? So if you look at the genealogies in Genesis 11, this is it. Let me read you the names on here. And the far left side now, this is starting at year 1000. All right? Because I didn't, basically creation starts somewhere out here. So this is year 1000. No point showing the rest of it because nobody else was alive then. So you got Noah, Shem, Arphaxad, Salah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and Abram. So this goes from Noah to Abram, which is Abraham. All right? Now, what's some interesting things that you find from this? Well, now I only listed the names that were in the genealogy section. Yeah, so Noah had other sons and they had other genealogies, but These are ones that just come straight from Genesis 11. Yeah, I've written that down. Something happened. Lifespan, let's go back. You're talking in the 900 years for the most part, lives up until the flood. After the flood, you drop pretty significantly from 900s, there's a 600, then it drops to the 400s. Then it drops again. You're got it in the 400s, and then all of a sudden it drops to the 200s. There's two times in Genesis where you have a major drop in the age of people alive. Why? Again, we have weird conversations at night laying in bed. Why did the people's ages drop? Now, I've always wondered, right in here, a lot of people speculate, and I tend to believe this, I can't back it up with anything, it's just my own personal belief, that the climate of Earth was drastically different after the flood. Drastically different. All right? Where it talks about that the heavens opened up and the rains come down. We're getting into a lot of science. I don't want to dig into it. But could that rain have been, it was a layer of water that was surrounding the earth that created like a greenhouse effect. And so you had this Garden of Eden idea that could have existed over much more of the earth instead of just one little area that you didn't have ice on the caps. Go read Apologetics Press. There's some really cool stuff on Apologetics Press. But could the climate have been drastically different after the flood? And could that have resulted in a, we're going to talk about pyramids in a minute. That's going to be fun. Did that result in some of this change? Yeah, there's no indication it ever rained on the earth, which is one of the reasons people didn't believe Noah. Like, what are you talking about? Isn't there rain? It's never rained before. There's no indication it ever had, because the Bible says that everything was watered from dew coming up from the ground. No indication it ever rained. Good point. Something else happened right here. Does anybody know what happened right here? We're going to talk about it in a minute. There's one thing in Scripture, and it's very easy to read over, of Peleg. Something happened during his lifetime. Yeah, because of what? What event happened that we all know about? The Tower of Babel happened during Peleg's life. The earth was divided. People are now no longer living together. You got different languages. They're starting to spread out. Could that have done something that caused lifespans to decrease? Again, I don't know. I told you this class was just designed to get you thinking. But one of the things that I hope this is doing is helping you to see what we read about in Genesis. And we're just through the first 11 chapters of Genesis getting up to this point. They're not little fairy tale stories that are isolated from each other. These people all lived at the same time. Now, here's some other things. You ever been in a room where you feel like you're the oldest person in there? You look around. I go to the gym sometimes. I'm getting to the point where I'm one of the older ones in there. I don't like that. And it's all college kids running around in there with me. I'm like, I'm one of the old guys now. This isn't fun like it used to be. Imagine you're Noah. Noah's not the oldest guy in the room. He's the oldest guy on the planet. And we're not just talking a couple decades. Noah was 600 years old when the flood occurred. His son Shem, the scripture tells us, was 100 years old. That means the only other people on the planet, they're even in the same century as Noah, is, you would assume, his wife. I don't know how old she was, but I would assume she's close to his age. You're talking he is centuries older than everyone on the planet. I can only imagine sometimes the loneliness and the feeling of that is no one can relate to you. Does that help to explain maybe some of the things that Noah did after the flood? What's one of the first things that Noah did that got him in trouble? He got drunk. He's easily 500 years older than everybody on the planet, and the only other ones close to him are his own children. That's got to be a weird feeling. All right, that's something strange that nobody else can, even I would think in this room, can even relate to. All right? Now, this is very interesting to me. Shem. Shem was on the ark. Shem lived prior to the flood, so he knows what the pre-earth or the pre-flood earth was like. Was there a drastic climate change somehow when the flood occurred? I don't know. I personally think there was, which might be reasons for dinosaurs being extinct. Maybe they couldn't live in the new climate that existed. Their bodies weren't adapted to it, yada, yada. But he understands what it was like beforehand. He outlived Abraham. Shem, one of the sons of Noah that was on the ark, lived longer than Abraham did. That's fascinating to me, which tells me Abraham has the opportunity to go and sit down face to face and talk to someone who was not only on the ark, but knew for 100 years what life was like before the flood. Abraham's trying to lead these people, is trying to do all this stuff. And you think he had difficulties with people not wanting to listen? What do you think Noah and Shem could say about people not wanting to listen? Maybe he could come and get some encouragement. But Abraham had the opportunity to get firsthand knowledge of what went on during the flood, what it was like having all those animals on the ark, what it was like before the flood, and could now pass that information on to his children, which means the children of Israel, the leaders of those families, could basically get secondhand knowledge of what earth was like before the flood hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years earlier. Does that make you think differently about Genesis now? What did these people know? Who interacted with who? All right, here's another one. And I did not put this on the graph, and this is just interesting. The graph is cluttered enough, and I know you guys can't see that. Sorry, I told you I'm a nerd, and this is fascinating to me. But I didn't put this on there, but Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. Abraham lived 175 years. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. We're told that in Genesis 21. Jacob and Esau were born when Isaac was 60 years old. All right, so that means Abraham was 160 years old when Jacob and Esau were born. So that means the twin boys were born 15 years. They were 15 years old when Abraham died. Jacob and Esau were. All right? Keep in mind, Shem was still alive. Shem outlived Abraham. The twin boys were 15 years old when Abraham died. Jacob and Esau could have talked to somebody who was on the ark, who lived before the flood. We're told in Genesis 26:34 that Esau took two wives when he was 40 years old. Shem might have been at the wedding. I don't know, again, this is fascinating to me. Look at the interaction and who lived with each other. Does it change the way that you think about Genesis? All right, and we've already talked about the age expectancy or the life expectancy and how it drastically changed twice. Now, this may seem like a crazy shift in what we're going to talk about, but we're going to come back to it. What do you think about when you think of pyramids? What's the first thing that pops in your head? I heard somebody say Egypt. That's what pops in my head. The pyramids in Egypt. If you think pyramids, you think the Egyptians, right? Now, did these pyramids, these are the pyramids of Giza, I think is the way you say it. These are the popular ones that you see all the time, is these pyramids right here. They're not the only ones on the planet, all right? But they're the most popular ones. Secular history says these things are about 4,500 years old. Were they built before the flood or after? All right? The flood occurred on the same planet that these pyramids exist on. This is where I want us to start looking at secular and biblical history together. It's not like you have the flood happen on some earth over here and the pyramids happen on some earth over here. We know the pyramids existed. They're right there. They're still there today. We know the flood existed. I would think the flood would have destroyed that. Maybe, maybe not. Secular history says they're about 4,500 years old. So, let's go back to this chart for a second. Remember these dates and everything I have on here? This is the first one from Genesis 5. The flood happened 1,656 years after creation. That we know. But how many year? What year B.C. was that? I would have to know the exact age of the earth to know that. We have rough estimates of the age of the earth. It's not billions of years old. All right? We can get some rough estimates. Now, There is a gentleman, I'm going to put his dates up there just for discussion purposes. Back in 1650, there was a man named Archbishop James Ussher, maybe is the way you say his name. He claims that he was actually able to use secular history to date the exact age of the earth. Now, he dates it back to like August 15th, whatever. I'm not so sure you can get that. But I mean, he gets it back to the day. But even if we just use his years that he got, he claims that earth was created in 4004 BC. That puts about a 6,000-year-old earth. That would put it in the realm of what we look at today. All right? So if that's the case, that means the flood occurred in 2348 BC. Now again, I can't prove to use those dates. I'm just using these dates that the archbishop got from the research he did back in the 1650s. Let's just run with those numbers for a minute. Let's say that that is true. If we go then to the genealogy from Genesis chapter 11, we are told in Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, that the Tower of Babel occurred during the life of Peleg. All right? It's one very short little sentence that's easy to look over. But we know the Tower of Babel happened during this guy's lifespan. He lived for 239 years. According to this archbishop, he says the Tower of Babel happened in the year 2242 BC. If we put that on the map, that happened when Peleg was 5 years old. All the Bible says is it happened during his lifetime. It did not say how old he was when it happened. All right? So maybe he's right. Maybe he's off a few years. I don't know. All right? But it does fall in with what the Bible says. That could be a possibility that would be the year it happened. But either way, we know it happened somewhere right in here is when the Tower of Babel happened. We also know that before that, when the Tower of Babel was being built, everybody on earth was in one spot together. The Bible tells us that. They all spoke one language together. All right? Now, have y'all ever watched Ancient Aliens on TV? Who's ever watched that TV show, Ancient Aliens? Who do they say created the pyramids? Aliens! It's Ancient Aliens. You know, the guy that's got the crazy spiked up hair, the big eyes, and all that. Yes. I like to watch it sometimes. It's interesting to watch. But they claim aliens created the pyramids. Do you know why? Because pyramids exist all over the world. And one of the things that historians say is during the time of when these pyramids were built, humans on earth did not have the capability of communicating with each other. So how is it possible that all these people built something that were very, very similar to each other in different remote parts of the world without having the ability to talk to each other? What's the chances that somebody built two identical things without ever knowing each other, not knowing their past histories or anything else? So how did these pyramids pop up all over the world? I mean, it's an interesting question. You've got to ask something like that. Again, this is to get you to think. And these pyramids, they're not just similar to each other. They're very similar, all right? Oh, I turned my clicker off. That didn't work then. There you go. I may have to get you to click for me in a minute. We'll see. These are the Mayan pyramids. The Mayans were over here. Mexico. Whoop. I went away. You've climbed one of those? The Mayan pyramids, then where the Aztecs and everything are at? So there's Mayans. There's the Aztec pyramids. Beep. Am I doing that? Oh, okay. There is a pyramid in Rome, Italy. This was not something built as a tourist attraction. This is one of the ancient pyramids in the middle of Rome, Italy. These are the ones in Egypt. These are in Sudan. This is in Mesopotamia. This is in China. They all look similar. You have to say that they do, looking at it. Now, here's one thing that's very interesting, though. Let's see. Let me find where I'm at in my notes, because we only got about 5 minutes left. I want to make sure that we hit certain things. Let's look over at Genesis 11, verses 1 through 4. I told Jeff before class that we were going to learn where the pyramids came from. So it was going to be an interesting class. All right, Genesis 11, let's get 1 through 4. It says, now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen, whatever that word is for mortar. So they had mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, which its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. So they built, it says there, a tower. The Hebrew word for tower there is, make sure I say it right, Migdal, M-I-G-D-A-L. We'll finish, I promise. Is the Hebrew word Migdal. What that word means is a tower, an elevated platform, a raised bed. That word is used 45 times in Scripture. The word Migdal, that is the actual Hebrew word. That's the word that's used for the tower that they built, for the Tower of Babel. Now, when it's used in Scripture, the word Migdal is almost every single time referring to some type of military stronghold. All right? So when I pictured the Tower of Babel growing up as a kid, what did you guys picture the Tower of Babel looking like? Yeah, I'm thinking like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. All right, something out of a Dr. Seuss book, that they're just trying stilts and everything to hold this thing up to see how tall they can get it. Like you build one of those little Lego towers when you're a kid just to see if you could reach the ceiling with it. That's what I've always imagined the Tower of Babel to be like. But according to this Hebrew word, and if you look at all the other places in the Old Testament where this word is used, it's talking about a military stronghold. These are not some flimsy towers that just fall apart. This is something that's going to be sturdy, that's going to last for a long time. And so secular history outside of the Bible, if you look at it, there is a thing called a ziggurat. I think I'm saying that right. This is a ziggurat. Y'all see where I'm going? That's a ziggurat. That looks very likely what is described when it's talking about a Migdal, even if you look at different places in Scripture with them being raised platforms. Here's a ziggurat. That was a drawing of one. This is a real picture. And if you see that pyramid in the background, that's the pyramid in China. All right? There's things around it that look like ziggurats. All right? Let's go back. And what they say these ziggurats, go backwards to the one in Mesopotamia, the pyramid that's in Mesopotamia. That one. That is almost an ideal picture of what a true ziggurat is. It's where you go up and it's like you have buildings built on top of buildings and they get sequentially smaller. All right, so you see that kind of up and over. What does that look like? Pyramid. Is it possible that when they built the Tower of Babel, they built a ziggurat? Is it possible that's what they built? Now, when they have to start dispersing and going all over the world, what do you think they're going to build? They're going to build what they know. They're going to build what they're used to, what they're used to seeing. Every one of them witnessed a potential ziggurat being built as what the Tower of Babel was. So would it make sense then when people are dispersed out all over the whole world and they start creating their own cultures, they start building those similar things that they're used to building. They know how to build them. Looks an awful lot like a pyramid to me. Is that why you have pyramids all over the world? Because, in essence, what the Tower of Babel was possibly a pyramid. Or what looks like a pyramid to us. So one more slide after that. Now, let's look back at the dates then of the pyramids that are said to exist. If we look at the Tower of Babel being in the year 2242 BC, that's what the Archbishop whatever said. That would put the Tower of Babel 4,250 years ago. According to secular history, these are the dates of these ancient pyramids. Sudan's pyramids were built 3,700 years ago. The Mayans, 2,300 years ago. The Roman pyramid, that one in Rome, Italy, 2,000 years ago. The Aztec, 600 years ago, happened after what we say the date of the Tower of Babel would have been. Which also means they were built after the flood. Which means the flood would not have destroyed them because they weren't built yet. So could the Tower of Babel have basically been the first pyramid? Then when people are dispersed over the whole world, they start building what they know. And they start seeing these. Now, the ones in Egypt and the one in China. Egypt is pushing almost right at the same time. All right? Egypt would have been pretty close to the same area over there. So you would think that would have been one of the first civilizations created after the Tower of Babel. That's why it's one of the oldest ones that we know on earth. It's been around that long. It's pretty close. And again, we're using this dates from the Archbishop, whatever his name was, Usher or something. All right. So did he get them exactly right? Probably not. But those were on there just for discussion purposes. So the ones in Egypt look like pretty close to the same time. The Chinese one, secular history says it's 6,700 years old. All right. They also say dinosaur bones are billions of years old. All right. Maybe they got the date wrong. I don't know. But if one pyramid, to me, is not going to throw this whole thing out, this seems to fit perfectly in this timeline right there. So, I'm done. I tried to get through it all. We got through it all. The whole point of this is I want you thinking. The Bible does not exist in another dimension somewhere away from the world we live in today. It's all connected. The question is, what were pyramids used for? It's different things in different civilizations. Some are for burial tombs. Some are used for religious purposes. Some were used as fortresses, kind of like that ziggurat. Thank y'all.